Ramsey TV.
All right, welcome back to the studio. I am back. This is Martin Zender. I was kicked off YouTube for a week. That's where I was. Many of you wondered, but I must tell you, you don't have to wonder where I am. Whenever something like this happens, I'm not taking a vacation. I'm not taking a break. Something bad has happened. And so in order to find out what's happened, you go to my website, martinzender.com. I have a website, martinzender.com. Anytime anything happens, you don't know where I am, you don't know what's happening, go to martinzender.com. There will be article on there, information describing what has happened, any videos that I have produced on another platform, such as on Rumble, will be available there. And I had videos available all week last week on Rumble. I put out conference videos from Richmond. I still have more conference videos to put out, but I wanted to talk to you personally today, and I wanted to start a little study in the book of Philippians here. So, yeah, folks, I'm not taking any vacation, no days off. I mean, seriously, like, I'm running the last lap of the most important race in history, and it's the final stretch. There's no way I'm going to take a freaking vacation. Even if I go somewhere, I will do a show every day. That's my boast. See, and God knows that's my boast. So he kicked me off. So now I can't boast about it anymore. Even though I still put shows out every single day. So yeah, I still did it, didn't I? But not on YouTube. This is the platform everybody watches. I want to stay on YouTube. I want to follow the rules. But they played a dirty trick on me. They went retro on me. They found a video 18 months ago. Remember, they took me off in January for medical misinformation. And I said, I got one strike. I said, I'm going to behave myself. In 90 days, strike goes away. And on April 1st, the strike went away. So I had a clean slate. And I reformed my ways. Any controversial video, I was going to put on Rumble. But apparently, it doesn't matter if you reform your ways, because they'll go back and find something that you did before you reformed your ways. Absolutely not fair. I contested it. And within 12 hours, they said, we don't care if you contest it or not. Or is it more like, nice try, but no. I doubt anybody even read it. It's run by machines. The whole thing's run by machines. Algorithms. Whatever the hell an algorithm is. But who cares about any of that? I'm interested in the gospel of the Apostle Paul. I'm interested in confirming everyone in the faith. That's why I went to Richmond. People ask me when I go to these places, do you want to look around the town? No, I don't. You want to watch a movie? No, I don't. I want to talk to the saints every possible second. I want to give talks. I want to listen to talks. And that's what happened. I'm going to replay some of the Richmond conference stuff for you this week. What I hope to do is record a new show here. I'm going to talk about the book of Philippians. I'm going to do it every day this week. And then in the evening, this is my plan, I'm going to republish on this platform one of the conference videos from Richmond, because there were some very good presentations there. Some of them were mine. Well, there you go. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. What a calling card. How would you like to have that on your business card? What do you do? Here you go. Let's take a look at that. Okay, let's see what we got here. Slave of Christ Jesus. Huh? That sounds a little embarrassing. Sounds a little humiliating. But can you think of anyone you'd rather be a slave of or to? Christ Jesus, the exalted one. I'm in. Count me in. We don't need a better resume than that. To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, together with the supervisors and servants. Yes, back then, there were organized ecclesias. It was fresh. The message was fresh. And in these groups, they had officers. They had supervisors and servants and things like that. And bishops and bishops and rabbis and papais. And no, not really, but they did have official offices. But the apostasy set in so quickly that in 2 Timothy, the groups had pretty much been corrupted and dissolved, and now it was individual people believing the truth and looking, concentrating at taking their charge from the Word of God, the Scriptures. the scriptures came to the fore. I mean, not that they weren't always at the fore, but due to the lack of outward organization, the scriptures keep us where we are, correctly translated, of course, and we strain to understand the scriptures. I am thanking my God at every remembrance of you, Paul says, always in every petition of mine for you all, making the petition with joy for your contribution to the evangel the first day until now. What kind of contribution? Well, simply put, the Philippians helped Paul financially. In fact, in Philippi was a woman named Lydia. Paul met her at the river when he first came into town with his friends. She was a seller of purple. She was a wealthy woman. And I believe she bankrolled Paul's first missionary trip to Europe. Ho, ho. How's that for an entrance on the resume? Good job, Lydia. Can't wait to see your reward at the dais of Christ. This woman trumpeted her name far and wide, financed Paul's first missionary journey to Europe. Wow, what a resume entry that is. And Paul says to the Corinthians, in one place, he said, I give freely to you. I give freely to you. Well, how could he possibly do that? He said, I despoil other ecclesias in order to give freely to you. Apparently, the Corinthians were not too anxious to help Paul, or they didn't understand the system or something. I don't know, but Paul was... But it didn't matter to Paul. Paul said, no worries. The Philippians take great care of me. The Philippians, namely Lydia. Thank God for Lydia. God has brought so many people into my life. Those of you who have helped this year, your own Lydias. You are Lydias in the modern era, and I thank you for that. And Paul is making note of that here. He knows that it's necessary, and he's acknowledging it to the Philippians especially. Having this same confidence that he who undertakes a good work among you will be performing it until the day of Jesus Christ. He who undertakes a good work. This reminds me of Galatians. When Paul says to Galatians, after they starting to be tricked by the circumcisionists, having begun in spirit, are you now being completed in flesh? There's no other way you can begin becoming a member of the body of Christ, ladies and gentlemen, except to be designated beforehand for the place of a son or a daughter. I would say that that is a pretty spiritual beginning. That is a beginning in the spirit because you aren't even born yet. And then God arranges your life, every detail, puts you where you need to be so that one day you hear the call. You hear the evangel and you respond to it. It's God-given response. It's all spirit. Wow, only the spirit can arrange things in your life to bring you to where you are now. Do you realize all the events that had to come together to bring you to watching this video right now? It's incredible. Talk about beginning in the spirit. And now, are you going to now say to God, I know you wouldn't do this, but this is all hypothetical. Some people try this in the flesh. Well, we began in the spirit, but now we got it now, Lord. Just hand the baton to us, and we'll take over from here. We're going to finish it. No, he who has begun a good work, who undertakes a good work. That's even better than begun a good work. Why? Let me explain. An undertaking. You are God's undertaking. It suggests responsibility. It's not just he who begins a good work in you. I think maybe the King James says that. I slipped into that. No. He who undertakes. You're a freaking project of God's. Don't bemoan that. God's happy about it. You're his project. He who undertakes a good work among you will be performing it. ING, performing, ongoing, incomplete verb form, will be performing it until the time he no longer needs to be performing it, until the day of Jesus Christ, until the day Jesus Christ comes for us and snatches us away to be with him, according as it is just for me to be disposed in this way over you all. Paul's crazy about him. He's disposed to the ecclesias. That was one of his biggest burdens, in fact. When he lists all his trials, I forget where he does that. One of the chief trials, he lists it last, and I think the trials go in order of severity. He talks about being having regard, having care for the ecclesia. Needing to... having the responsibility to care for people's lives. You know, and I'm burdened with that in a way. I mean, I care about you. people write me, and I hate it when I don't get to emails. It's a burden to me. I'm not telling you to stop writing. I'm just saying that it's a disposition that was given, has been given to me. And of course, we know Paul had that disposition as well. Over you all, over you all. It's not over in the sense of lording it over them. It's like looking after them, wanting them to be well, praying for them. Because you, having me in heart, both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the evangel, you all are joint participants with me of grace. But there's so much here. I'm going to get into it this week. Don't worry. This is loaded here. It's a mutual disposition. For me to be disposed in this way over you all, somebody might say, Paul, why are you so gushy? Paul says, I'm disposed to you in this way. I say the same thing to all of you out there watching me right now. Because you, having me in heart, you see, it's a two-way street. I know you have me in your heart. I need it. I can't survive without it, really. It's the most important thing in my life. Both in my bonds, in Paul's case, he was writing this from prison. He was writing this from a Roman jail. They have him in his heart, both in his bonds, and in the defense and confirmation of the evangel. I'm going to finish with this point. People ask me all the time, Martin, why are you so... Why do you think the gospel needs defended? Who do you think you are? You set yourself up as a defender of the... I haven't set myself up with anything. God has set me up. And people say, why does the gospel need defended? It's God's gospel. He can defend it. Well, yes, I suppose he could, being God and all. But being God, he decides to appoint human beings to defend it. Just the way he does it. How does the word of God come? Through heralds, through the feet of those who bring glad tidings. That's how it happens. God uses human beings. He does it the slow way, the primitive way. The defense and confirmation. Every day here, 5 days a week, and even on Sundays when we run the Rodney Paris Martin Zender special, I am confirming the evangel to you. Some of it might get repetitive. I try not to be repetitive, but... The elemental principles must be repeated. And I do it, I don't do it by rote. I don't have a list of things. Better say this today, better say this today. I'm talking off the top of my head every day. I'm talking off the top of my head with the Word of God as my guide. In the defense and confirmation of the evangel, you all, and I say this to you as Paul said it to the Philippians, you all are joint participants with me of grace.